Sunday is Election Day in Hong Kong, but many city residents are instead calling it Selection Day because they are not allowed to directly vote for their leader, known locally as the chief executive. And that, reports NPR's Rob Schmitz, is at the center of a political battle between the governed and those who govern.
Sunday's election in Hong Kong was supposed to be the first one when each and every resident would be allowed to vote for the city leader. In a grand handover ceremony in 1997, China took control of Hong Kong from Great Britain. At the time, China promised Hong Kongers something Britain never allowed: voting rights for all. Anson Chan oversaw the handover as the city's chief secretary.
I remember being rolled out in the run-up to 1997 and for the 4 years that I was chief secretary after 1997 to tell the rest of the world, well, you know, you should put your mind and heart at ease because we have all these promises that the two countries have agreed to.
Chan's sales pitch to her fellow citizens was, don't worry, the flag flying in Hong Kong is now a Chinese one, but everything else will remain the same.
And yet, we are now just 20 years after the handover. If I know what I knew today, I would never have gone to do these, you know, pitch sales with such enthusiasm.
Hong Kong's handover to China kicked off a lengthy consultation period during which city leaders, many backed by Beijing, met with residents to gather opinions on how the city should implement voting rights. Like so many others, Hong Kong-based writer Suzanne Pepper told the Chinese to let everyone vote.
At the end of it, Beijing issued a decision, and they said no. They ignored everybody. They ignored all of the opinions.
Beijing's edict, delivered by China's top leadership in August of 2014, was that all the people of Hong Kong would be able to vote for their city leader, but only after a nominating committee loyal to Beijing selected the candidates. The city reacted quickly. Tens of thousands of protesters shut down the city's financial district for more than 2 months. It was called the Umbrella Revolution, after the umbrellas used to shield protesters from police tear gas. Months later, Hong Kong's legislature rejected Beijing's plan for electoral reform. And that left Hong Kong with its old system, one where business and pro-Beijing groups dominate an election committee of around 1,000 people that on Sunday will vote for the city's chief executive. The candidate preferred by China's government is almost certain to win. Her name is Carrie Lam. For the past 5 years, Lam has been Hong Kong's chief secretary, the city's second in command. 2 years ago, she faced off against protesting students in a televised debate, a performance that pleased Beijing but left her unpopular with many city residents. Nearly all public opinion polls show her main opponent, former city financial secretary John Tsung, would likely win in a citywide election. That's who office worker Ashley Lam would vote for, if he could.
We need someone who has a sense of civic duty. Hong Kong is changing. Mainland Chinese are immigrating here, and they don't understand democracy. They bring with them the sense that money and connections are the way to get things done. This really disturbs me.
Lam says he struggles to explain what's happening in Hong Kong to his children. His best advice to them, he says with a frown, is to someday move to Australia or New Zealand, places where people have rights. This sense of hopelessness is what Hong Kong elected official Claudia Mo predicts will lead to anger if or when Carrie Lam prevails as the city's chief executive.
It's going to look very ugly. Hong Kong people once again will feel being horrendously let down, got cheated again. You like A, we give you B. This is not going to go down well.
If Lam wins, her first day of office would be July 1st, the 20th anniversary of Hong Kong's handover to China. A day, predicts Mo, when an angry population will rise again. Rob Schmitz, NPR News, Hong Kong.